Today's scripture is from Luke, chapter 10, 25 to 37. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit life, eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he took the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you have.' Which of the three do you think was a neighbor to the man?" "The man who fell into the hands of the robbers." The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Blessings, Randy.
Who is my neighbor? Who is your neighbor? The simple phrase, "Who is my neighbor?" is the same phrase that we see in our text this morning. And it's a phrase that is important to keep asking ourselves. Who is our neighbor? Who is our neighbor? Well, in this story this morning, we have a story of true, shocking scandal, it seems. Can you imagine that the hero of this story, that the neighbor, is a Samaritan? One of the most hated half-breeds of that time that Jesus was living in. Told in this Jewish context, Jesus couldn't have picked a more unlikely neighbor to make a point. A protagonist this neighbor was. The jaws of the listeners as they heard this story must have dropped as Jesus held up this Samaritan as the one who actually extended help to another. Now, what makes this story even more scandalous or shocking is who Jesus is telling this story to. The priest and the Levite, two religious individuals, passed by the man lying in the road. And these religious people left the man for dead. Perhaps they did that because they themselves were worried about cleanliness laws that they were thinking about themselves. They were so committed to following those cleanliness laws in their religious tradition that they forgot the spirit of looking out for the neighbor. Had they actually touched this man helplessly lying in the ditch, they would have sullied themselves. But here's where the punch really comes. That Jesus is telling this to a religious expert, lawyer, who knows the law very well. And for all of us this morning, it's this real awareness that this religious lawyer who knows the law so well is also us, the church, steeped in our religious traditions, and that we too, if we're honest, often fail to do the good thing right in front of us. The end of this parable is a command to extend real compassion in the way that the Samaritan did. Jesus says, "You go and do likewise. Go and be like the Samaritan. Don't be so caught up in your religious agenda that you forget about the people right in front of you." Now, there's a number of things in this story that we could explore further, but there's one thing that I think is very important that we acknowledge in this story. And that is that as we think about who our neighbor is, we have to first remember that Jesus, the Christ, is our neighbor as well. Some scholars suggest that this story has another layer underneath it, that the person in the ditch that people have been just passing by and forgetting is actually us, humans, created in the image of God, and yet through sin and brokenness of this world are laying in this ditch. And this person in the ditch could represent a lot of different things. Certainly it represents our own fallenness, our own sin that brings us down. It could certainly represent the brokenness of our world, whether we're talking about extreme poverty or systemic issues of racism or the myth of retributive violence that is all around us. Whatever that is could represent this person laying in the ditch. And Jesus is the neighbor that comes along and extends hospitable love, seen most fully in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Why is this important to name? Because we cannot begin to grasp what it means to be a good neighbor if, as followers of Jesus, we do not first begin with the fact that Jesus has been a neighbor to us. That the only way we can extend hospitality to a broken world looking for neighborliness is that we first remember the story of God in Jesus extending hospitable love to us. The only way we can be sent out is to first remember that Jesus was sent on a mission for us. And I think about this religious lawyer who is trying so hard to know, what do I have to do for eternal life? And yet the thing is, this lawyer is also trying to test Jesus. This lawyer had a little bit of pride that had to be dealt with. And he thought he knew exactly what the law taught. And so when the lawyer tests Jesus and says, "Who is my neighbor?" he couldn't have imagined what was about to come. And what is beautiful about this story is that for this lawyer, he thinks he knows exactly what he has to do. The law that he is following in the Torah is what he's thinking about. And Jesus kind of turns it upside down by saying, "First and foremost, I am a neighbor to you. This isn't about what you need to do as far as tasks to check off the list of being a righteous and religious leader. This isn't about what you can do. This is about who you need to be. You need to be a neighbor who realizes first that salvation does not come through works. Salvation comes through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And out of that love and hospitality of Jesus being a neighbor, it's not about what you are doing, it's about the kind of person that you be. And that kind of person that you are to be is a loving, hospitable neighbor. But you have to wonder how this religious lawyer felt after he heard this. Everything turned upside down, that the neighbor could be a Samaritan. And it's interesting, if you look at the response at the end, after Jesus says, who was that person that showed love? Which of these three, Jesus says, do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? In verse 36. What does this lawyer say? Note, he doesn't say the Samaritan, because he can't bring himself to actually acknowledge that he completely missed it. He can only say the one who showed him mercy. And you have to just imagine that this lawyer kind of slumped his head and walked away, realizing he missed it, and that he couldn't bring himself to acknowledge that it was the Samaritan as well. What might this mean for us today in our own lives, seeking to be loving neighbors to one another? Well, one thing that we can do is to first remember that Jesus is a neighbor to us. And if we can't start there, I don't know if we can keep going after that. But let's keep remembering that this morning. And then as we keep that first and foremost, we think about how we are neighbors to one another. And I want to suggest that at Whitmer Heights, we are being neighbors to each other here. And we are being neighbors in our community. And I also want to say that I think we can keep growing in it. And there's one place especially where I think we can grow and take some steps forward in learning together how to be neighbors. And that is this place here. This story is about turning upside down who the lawyer thought the neighbor was. And it's the most unexpected person of the day that ends up being the neighbor. And I want to challenge us this morning, myself included, to continue to think about who our neighbors are around us that are really, really hurting and in that ditch. This has been a hard week for me as I've read the news. A lot of racial violence and tension right now in our country. And it's hard, it's really hard to read it. And then to wrestle for myself as a white male and the privilege that I carry each day, that is so easy to take for granted. I'm very aware that if I am driving in my car and I get pulled over, I'm not really that afraid about how the police officer is going to treat me. And I cannot take for granted that my black brother and neighbor, who also gets pulled over for the exact same speeding violation, isn't always sure how he will be treated. And I'm wrestling with this. Who is my neighbor when my neighbors around me are treated in unjust ways? And I'm not just grieving for the ethnic minorities around us. I'm also grieving for the 5 police officers in Dallas who were killed by a black man who was upset about how blacks are treated. I grieve for them too, because any kind of violence is not the way the kingdom of God on earth is coming. The kingdom of God is going to come through loving neighborliness to one another. And yet, if we're going to be neighbors, we're going to have to get beyond the sentimentality of just the feel-good neighbor that's next to me and I'm taking them cookies every day, because that feels good. That feels good. It's safe, even though it's vulnerable too sometimes. But see, what is important here in this story is that Jesus isn't being sentimental. Jesus isn't trying to make people feel good here. The neighbor is the most hated person, Samaritan. That completely turns it upside down. And so we have to stretch ourselves vulnerably to think about our neighbors really on the margins, right around us, who are suffering right now. And how do we hear their stories? How do we go with curiosity and understanding before first having judgment? Who are the neighbors around us who are hurting? I know some of the neighbors who are hurting this week are the families of Auton Sterling, the families of Philando Castillo, the families of Tamir Rice and Eric Gardner and Sandra Bland and Mike Brown and Freddie Gray and Trayvon Martin, and the families of these police officers who were killed, and the families of everybody else who is experiencing violence around them. We have a lot of neighbors and a lot of people in the ditch who are hurting, and it's us included. And Jesus is calling us here to extend loving hospitality to our neighbors, even when it's very vulnerable. Todd, would you put up on the PowerPoint here a number of questions that I'm suggesting we consider a little bit for this week? And basically, each of these questions here is to think, who are the characters in this story today? Today, who are the robbers that beat this man up? Today, who is the man in the ditch right now? Today, who is walking past the man but not having compassion? Today, who is the Good Samaritan? And today, who is my neighbor? And friends, I invite us this week to think about how we can embody the way of Jesus in this story. How can we make this story a part of our story? First, remembering that Jesus was a neighbor to us. And as we extend hospitable neighborliness around, let us prepare to be surprised about who our neighbor may be. Amen.